Good morning. You're listening to KCAW Sitka, where the temperature is 40 degrees outside. It's Tuesday, January 22nd, and I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. Electric bills in Sitka could increase in July, depending on what the Sitka Assembly does at its regular meeting tonight. The Assembly will consider a 15% rate increase for all types of customers, including residential and commercial. The proposal comes after the Assembly put a new rate structure in place last year. That took effect in October. Those who use very little electricity saw their rates increase to meet a minimum charge. Residents who used a lot of power saw major increases under that new structure. Municipal Administrator Jim Dinley told the Assembly that the increase they'll consider tonight is to cover the increased cost of the Blue Lake Dam expansion. Raven Radio will provide live coverage of the meeting, which begins at 6 tonight. What the Assembly hears tonight will depend on public testimony and the debate at the table. But last Thursday, Assembly members heard about electric rates and more during a dinner with the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. And that's where KCAW's Ed Ronco picks up the story.
The Assembly and the Tribal Council meet twice a year in what's known as a government-to-government dinner. Neither group of elected officials takes any binding action at the dinner. Instead, both sides use it as an opportunity to touch upon issues that matter to their constituents. Mike Baines is chairman of the Sitka Tribe of Alaska.
Open communication between us and the Assembly, and between me and the mayor and our staff and their staff, and I think our staff meets pretty regularly with their staff, and I hope those things continue and just continue to grow.
The city briefed the tribe on the Blue Lake Dam expansion, construction of which is now underway. The tribe, meanwhile, raised questions about increases in utility rates and told the city that it would be helpful to have more support in place for low-income residents. Tsunami preparedness also came up. Tribal Council member Rachel Marino was among those to raise questions about transportation in the event of another evacuation. She said many in her neighborhood were on foot the morning of January 5th and unprepared. Marino says she lives on higher ground and that during the evacuation, she had about 50 people in and around her home, not all of whom she knew. The city and the tribe also talked about opportunities for joint lobbying. Both sides appeared to agree it would send a stronger message to Washington, D.C. if both municipal and tribal officials visited Alaska's congressional delegation together. And even the idea of a community center for teens came up. The tribe's general manager, Ted Wright, mentioned the old airplane turnaround at Catlian Street and Halibut Point Road as a possible location. That location already hosts a skateboarding park. Tribal Council member Benjamin Miyasato said a teen center would be good for Sitka. Mim McConnell is the mayor of Sitka. She said the twice-yearly dinner is important for both governments.
It helps us be more effective leaders, both of our governments, and it's respectful. It's acknowledging that we're equals in our community, and that communication is so important to do a good job and get the job done.
Meetings between the city and tribal governments have not always been cordial. In 2005, the tribal council and three assembly members walked out of the dinner after then-Mayor Marco Dapsovich adhered strictly to meeting procedures at the usually informal event, banging his cell phone as a gavel, demanding order when others tried to speak. The cell phones stayed out of sight on Thursday. After the meeting adjourned, McConnell said the relationship between the two governments has come a long way.
If people that are listening to this could see what's happening in the room right now. As I stand here now, people are still in the room, and they're having these little pockets of conversations with some assembly member talking to a tribal member, and, you know, there's like three or four different conversations going on, and we're done, but that conversation's still going on, and that's fantastic.
Tribal Council Chairman Mike Baines agrees.
It's just good to get together, and our relationship has improved quite a bit over the last few years since we've been doing this, and I hope we continue to do it.
The meeting at the Fly-In Fish-In took about 3 hours, including the meal, which was a choice of nut-encrusted halibut, grilled chicken breast, or roasted veggie tort. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
After refusing to implement an electronic monitoring program developed by fishermen over the last 2 years, NOAA Fisheries is moving forward with a plan of its own to test cameras on boats this spring. But a top official who met with Sitka fishermen last week on Wednesday said too many questions remain about the system and there's no way a functional electronic monitoring program could be ready in the next 2 years. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has more.
The monitoring of bottom fishing that takes place in federal waters off Alaska's coastline has come into the spotlight recently because hook and line and pot gear fishermen who operate relatively small boats from 40 to 57 and a half feet may be selected to carry human observers, basically a technician who counts and weighs some of the fish that come over the rail and takes tissue samples. Observers are, and have been for decades, an important tool for determining bycatch, the amount of fish caught unintentionally in the traditionally large boat fisheries. Martin Lefled, the director of NOAA's Observer Program in Seattle, told a roomful of about 45 Sitka halibut and black cod fishermen that the goal was to assess everything that came out of the ocean. No one in the room disputed this goal, but getting there remains a problem, especially in a boat that may be no longer than a couple of large pickup trucks parked end to end. Lefled said he began his career in the late 1970s as an observer on the foreign fleet. He said electronic monitoring, cameras, were not going to replace human observers anytime soon.
I think the way to phrase it from my perspective is to develop it as a tool that can be used to some degree in the fisheries management process. I think it's unrealistic from my desk to think that it will ever take an otolith out of a fish. That's something we do.
An otolith is an ear bone used to determine the age of a species. But Lefled conceded that electronic monitoring one day could be very useful in determining the location and time of fishing, the number of fish and the composition of the catch, and possibly its weight.
An awful lot of what we do is managed by weight and not by number of fish. So the weight is kind of a key consideration.
Speaking from the audience, Linda Benkin, the director of the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, noted that 90% of the catch was landed at onshore processors where this data could be easily collected. Lefled suggested that was inadequate.
If there are some beasts that simply never make it to the dock, the only way to get those beasts is on the boat.
He went on to say that there was potential for cameras to have a primary role with human observers in a secondary role supplementing that information. Lefled said NOAA planned to spend about $200,000 testing electronic monitoring on volunteer boats this season. Besides scientific data, he said there are other details to consider. Who's obligated to power the system? Who's responsible for keeping it clean and functioning? And could a fishing trip be cut short if the electronic monitoring system failed? Lefled said his office planned to get a draft document before the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council by this June, but even if some of these basic questions could be addressed, he could pretty much guarantee you won't have regs in place by 2014. Beginning this year, halibut fishing boats 57 and a half feet and over will have a 15% chance of having one of their trips selected for observer coverage. Boats down to 40 feet will have a smaller chance of selection, but if selected, they'll have to carry an observer on every trip for a two-month period. This amounts to about 1,300 additional boats now subject to observer coverage. Last month, a private cruise line, the Boat Company, filed a legal challenge against the program, arguing that it was diverting observer resources from larger vessels, which have a proportionately larger effect on bycatch. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
A light earthquake occurred Monday near the town of Talkeetna. The Alaska Earthquake Information Center says the quake had a preliminary magnitude of 4.1 and occurred at 11 a.m. It was centered 31 miles from Talkeetna. The quake was felt in Anchorage and Eagle River. No reports, though, of damage. The Anchorage Assembly is looking at proposed changes to the city zoning codes. The Anchorage Daily News says one hearing has already been held on the proposed changes, and another one is scheduled for tonight. The Anchorage Assembly is looking at some 700 pages of rules that govern development in Anchorage. The issues raised so far range from how far buildings need to be set back from streams to requirements for snow storage on new commercial developments. Some builders and building owners say the proposed changes are too restrictive, while some residents and community activists believe the proposals don't go far enough to raise development standards in Anchorage. Royal Dutch Shell PLC is continuing to help deliver food to Kodiak's rural communities. The food from the Kodiak Island Food Bank was delivered to Larson Bay last week. The community received about 1,200 pounds of food from the food bank Friday. This is the second time Shell has helped to deliver to one of Kodiak's villages. Food bank director Alex von Tersikov asked Shell earlier this month to deliver food to Old Harbor. The request came because he knew Shell had been flying people back and forth from Kodiak to Old Harbor since the Kulik drilling rig grounded off Kodiak Island. And that's it for Raven News for this hour. It's 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. A quick check with weather before we return you to Morning Edition. Current conditions in downtown Sitka today, mostly cloudy skies, 40 degrees on the thermometer. We've got a wind speed of 3 miles an hour out of the northwest and the barometric pressure at 29.66 inches of mercury. Visibility about 10 miles right now. And for today in Sitka and Port Alexander, you can expect periods of rain to develop by the afternoon, highs around 45, with southeast winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Tonight, periods of rain to continue, but those will diminish late, lows around 39 tonight, and southeast winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Wednesday, rain is likely, highs around 44 degrees, southeast winds 5 to 15 miles an hour. Thanks for being with us this morning. You're listening.